Morning, Believers Church. It's so good for you. I wish I could see you. I keep wanting to say that, but we're almost there. If you're visiting with us online, welcome. Hopefully you've been blessed so far. Man, we miss you guys. But this morning, I'm excited. I get to make an announcement after some more discussion with our leadership. We have set a date for our return. So here you go. Are you ready? It's June the 7th. So on June the 7th at 10 o'clock, we're going to be back here. And we're going to be back here with Kids Church, with nursery. Nursery is obviously, it'll run zero through pre-K or through K. And then Kids Church is rising first graders through fifth grade. We'll have that building open like normal. We're going to be taking extra precautions. You'll see those and we'll explain those as we come. So when you know, come on June the 7th, we're going to be back. Now listen, if you're more comfortable staying home and you're in a risk category and you want to stay home, we're still going to be live online. I still think there's nothing like joining together, but if you need to stay home, stay home, stay safe. We're going to follow all the guidelines. If you want to wear a mask, if you feel more comfortable doing that, then wear a mask. Do whatever you feel comfortable and whatever you have peace about. We're so excited to be able to see you guys in person. So excited to be able to worship together. The Bible says there's something special that happens when the people of God are together in worship. That we not only in worship, but we help each other. So keep an eye out on our social media. Keep an eye out. Even next week, the service, we're going to make more announcements and give you more information. But June the 7th at 10 a.m., we'll be back. And we're excited, and we can't wait to see you. Now let's jump into our message today. We're going to finish up with our series called Running with the Giants. If you've missed any of the previous weeks, go on our Facebook, on our YouTube. They're there on demand. You can go watch them. You can go to our website. The podcast is there as well if you just want the audio version. Go catch up on those. But this week we're going to continue this based on this verse out of chapter Hebrews chapter 11 and 12. 11 gives us a list of people. 12 gives us this verse that says we're surrounded by a crowd of witnesses, of these people who have gone before us. It says that we need to be careful because we run this race. And today I want you to key in on this right here. It says, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And then it goes on and say, let us run this race that we're running, this race of life with endurance. Today we're going to ask Jacob to come down out of this stands and run a lap of life with us. Jacob is Abraham's grandson. And if you read the last part of Genesis, there's lots of stories in the Bible about Jacob. It literally from birth, though, he struggled. He struggled to control his life. The Bible says when he was born, his brother Esau was coming before him, that Jacob reached out and grabbed Esau's heel. And it was significant because the firstborn inherited a blessing, had an inheritance from the father. Jacob tried to force things to go the way he wanted them to go, and not really intentionally looking for God's story of his life, going the way that God wants him to go. And it started with him trying to grab his brother's heel. His name literally means deceiver. We'll talk about in a minute that God actually does a name change with Jacob too. He would manipulate. He tricked his brother into selling him his birthright when his brother was at a vulnerable time. And he tricked his own father into giving him the blessing of the firstborn. You see, Jacob also even had to really change his plans because he found a woman that he wanted to marry. His father promised that Jacob would get to marry that woman, but long story short, what was supposed to take a few years took Jacob 14 years to get to marry the woman that he wanted to. So his life wasn't going like he had planned. He kept running into obstacles. So the question I would ask Jacob, and one that really hits home to us now as we're coming out of this a little over 2 months in quarantine, is what do you do when life is not going like you thought it would? There is nobody within the sound of my voice watching me now that if I'd have asked you in October of 2019 and told you we would all be locked in our homes and staying away from each other for almost 10 or 12 weeks because of a flu, COVID, bug, pandemic, nobody would have said, yeah, that's probably true. Nobody saw this coming. Life has not been going like we thought it would. Kids are out of school. Kids are missing their senior years of graduation and all the prom and all that goes with that. Nobody thought that was coming. So what do you do when life's not going like you thought it would or like you wanted it to? What do you do when life, like in Hebrews 12, where it says that this sin so easily trips us up? What happens when you trip and life changes and not in a good way? How do you get through it? What do you do? I think Jacob would say the first thing is, and you've heard me say this many, even on these messages before, but it's going to be our key point today. The first thing you need to do is give God the pen back. You need to give the author of the book of your life his pen back and quit trying to write it yourself. Let God have control. You see, for Christians, and even for a lot of us in personalities, me included, that is very hard to do. My wife will tell you, I don't even like to let her drive, not because she's a bad driver, but because if I'm going to be driving, I want to be in control. And if I'm not driving, I spend the whole time putting my foot through the floorboard trying to somehow, in my mind, gain control. We see Christians are really bad about that. Another thing in life that Jacob would tell us is that, listen, you can learn it by going through it, or you can learn it by just letting the Bible, letting God teach you. And see, a lot of us just treat God like fire insurance. God, you're going to keep me from going to hell. Thank you. I've got it from here. But that is not the way God designed the relationship for us to have. It's not how he designed you to walk with him. It's not how he laid out your life, the Bible tells us, before you were even born. But see, Jacob runs headlong into God and God's plan for his life. One day God shows up, and the Bible tells a story about a man. And the prophet Hosea tells us later that it was an angel that Jacob actually wrestles with. And the Bible says he wrestles all night long. And as he does, he's holding on for God's blessing. His life now, the way he wanted it to go, has now hit the way God wanted it to go. And somebody had to win. Somebody, a direction had to change. So I want to give you two things that happen that I think Jacob would tell us when we give God back the pen, when we give God control. And the first thing is, you'll get new strength. You see, you go from being self-sufficient to being God-dependent. There are a lot of you who are great at what you do. You're great at life. You're great at business. You're great at your family. You're a great father. You're a great mother. You're doing great in life. You're self-sufficient. But the problem is, your best doesn't get you to God. Your best, unless you let God lead, doesn't get you to the place that God wants you to go. Because we have to go from being self-dependent, self-sufficient, to being God-dependent. These things cause Jacob all kinds of problems. Look what the Bible says talking about Jacob. This is in Genesis 32. Now Jacob's all alone. He had sent his family on ahead of them on a trip they were taking. And it says, a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. This man is talking about the angel. When the man saw that he would not win the match, talking that Jacob couldn't win, he touched Jacob's hips. In other words, he gave him the knockout punch. See, I think God let him go most of the night, letting him trying to learn his lesson. You can't win. My strength is what you need. Your own effort is not going to do it. Then there was the side of Jacob that was just his tenacity. He had realized, God, you're not going to leave here without blessing me, that giving me what I know you've promised me. So the angel touches Jacob's hip, and the Bible tells it was knocked out of socket. Now Jacob wasn't letting go until God blessed him, because here's what he wanted him to learn. Your strength will never be enough. From that moment on, Jacob's attitude changed. He began to listen to God, follow God, let God lead, let God give him instructions. Just after the Bible says this, what we're reading here, the Bible says that God then blessed him. I think because he learned to let God lead. He learned to give God control. Jesus even says in Matthew chapter 11, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. And this is where the verse says, take my yoke upon you. And then you'll find rest for your souls. But see, that yoke, we tend to think it's just the big, heavy thing that goes on us. But it's not. It's a custom fit for your life. God is custom fit a life for you. He comes to give you this life and make life easy. Might give you rest. And the Bible says that God is gentle and humble in heart, and he will find rest for your souls when you begin to do this. You begin to let Him take control. You begin to find this life that God has for you that is the fit of life, not the struggle that you have now. You see, rest, though, is not a rest is not just sitting still. It's not inactivity. Rest is something that you feel in your soul. You can be working hard right now, working hard in life, working hard maybe at your job, but your soul can be at rest because the Bible says that He brings us peace because I'm walking in His footsteps. I'm letting Him lead. It doesn't say there are not going to be hard times. It doesn't say there's not going to be work, but it says that you find rest in your soul. See, the next thing that happens when you give the pen back, Jacob would tell us, is you get a new identity. Now, this is big for us in today's world. In the time of, you hear this phrase, identity politics. People judge you or put you in categories based on your identity, who you are, what color your skin is, what your profession is, what your economic status is. And the world puts it on us. But see, Jacob, is in his encounter with God, God changed his name because the identity that had been put on him in the name Jacob was one that the Bible said meant deceiver. It actually translates surplanter. In other words, he was trying to usurp God's plan. And Jacob's name is now changed. Look what the Bible says in Genesis 32, 27 and 28. The man, God says, "What is your name?" Which is funny that God asked him his name. He was just trying to get him to say his identity. That's what he was trying to do. He replied, "Jacob. Your name will no longer be called Jacob," the man told him. "From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and man and have won." You see, Jacob was to be a leader in the nation of Israel and God's people. And that's the identity. See, when you give God His pen back, you get a new identity and you get the one that you should have had all along. A lot of you are carrying around and your identity is your past. Maybe back from high school, maybe back from college, maybe from a previous marriage. Your identity, even you see yourself in those terms. You see, God doesn't see that. And God even did the same thing in the New Testament to Peter. God changed his name from Simon to Cephas, which we would say translate Peter. And that translates the rock. And God says, "That's the rock I'm going to build my church on." See, when you give God his pen back, you can begin to have the identity that you were created to have. And that identity is not one of failure. That identity is not one of mistakes. I said this last week, and I'll say it again this week because it's even more true in this story. Your failures are not final. Unless you choose just not to get up again, your failures is not final. God's not seeing you in that failure. See, God doesn't just see the actualities of life. God sees through it to the possibilities. What is that question? What does it hinge on? The possibility hinges on us letting God have control, not trying to do it ourselves. And I'm telling you, this is something I struggle with every day. I want to be in control. God, I don't want to wait on you. I want to get it done now. We want to build this, go there, do this. This whole last 10 or 12 weeks has been hard just for me personally because there's things I want to be doing. I want to be doing in my own personal life, in the church. Let's get going. But you just can't. You know, when Amazon gets backed up and you can't get something from Amazon, who normally can get you something the next day, that life is just not like we wanted it. And my identity from God is more important to me than what the world says about me. And see, Jacob figured this out. God sees the possibilities with me by simply going, "God, I give you the pen back, I'll follow you." Then the possibilities are endless. But he also doesn't just judge and hold you in your place because he sees you as a failure. And it may be actually where you are now. You may have failed, and that's not the way God sees you. He sees you through the blood of his son Jesus and wants a relationship with you to write out, to walk out the plan he has for your life. Now, as we turn the last corner, before Jacob makes his way, maybe even back up into the stands, I think he stops and turns his head back to us and encourages us in a couple things. He would say to us first, humbleness precedes breakthrough. What does that mean, Clint? See, the bottom line is you will never be who and what God has asked you, wants for you and has written for you and what he intended for you to be and hold on to what you think it should be. You can't have it both ways. It's okay to think, God, I wish it would go this way. God, I kind of dream about this. But if you can't let that go to go the way that God has for you, and I said this last week, I think, and I'll say it again today, whatever God has for you is way better than whatever the best is you could do. You have to stop being self-sufficient and start being God-dependent. God, I'm going to go to the ends of the earth. The Bible actually tells us of us that we're to do greater things than even Jesus did. But those people who do that are not self-sufficient, they're God-dependent. And too many of us now are self-sufficient because the world tells us, take care of yourself, do for yourself, ignore everybody else, push everybody, do what's best for you. And there is some truth to that. I even told you for next on the 7th, when we come back, you do what's best for you. I'm just telling you to use wisdom, not telling you not to depend on God. That wisdom should come from God. Be God-dependent, not self-sufficient. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 25:9 about being humble. It says, He leads the humble in doing right and teaching them this way. See, he can't lead you if you won't let him. It takes a degree of humbleness to let somebody else lead you, to follow somebody else, because you're giving them control. You're letting them lead you. David writes again in Psalm 69, the humble will see their God at work. See, when you understand that humbleness precedes a breakthrough, you see God begin to work. And some of you right now are begging God to work, but you won't be humble and let him take control. You're fighting against him. You're walking this way when he's saying, come this way. You're making it more difficult. The next thing I think he would say is encourage us to stop looking for yourself outside of God. There's this whole thought today of that you need to transcend and find yourself and find yourself. And the problem is, if you find yourself outside of God, you're in trouble. Stop looking for yourselves in your profession. Stop looking for yourselves and other things that try to describe you. The Bible says you were created by God for a purpose, that he had a plan for you before you were even in your mother's womb. Stop trying to create you and let God show you who you are. What better person to tell you who you are than the one who created you? If I want to learn about one of the NASA space shuttles, I don't go to a local car dealer to find out about it. I go to NASA. I go to the engineer that designed the thing. Tell me about it. Who's going to know more? The one who created it. The one who thought it out. The one who worked it out. You see, part of my job as a pastor, and honestly, I don't like it, but it's part of my job, is to tell you the truth even when it's not easy. And here's the truth. Your life will never meet your hopes and expectations until you just, in the song that I hate singing and I hate hearing it, my girls loved it when it was out, let it go. Until you follow that advice and let it go, let God lead you, you're always going to come up short and be disappointed. You may ride a high for a while, but you're eventually going to fall back and go, God, I'm just not where I'm supposed to be and I don't know why. I can tell you why. Truth is, until you let God lead, your life and your hope and your expectations are never going to be met. And that's a hard, hard way to live. Now, I think Jacob would step back up into the stands and tell you this, that when you find yourself on God's terms, in other words, when you follow his terms, then you're going to find fulfillment. Then life is going to be fulfilled. And I don't mean wealthy, I don't mean money, but you're going to be doing something that makes a difference. We say here that you need to know God, find freedom, discover why you're here, discover a purpose. And when you do those things, then we can go make a difference. And that's where fulfillment comes in. When you're doing something that's bigger than you, part of something that's bigger than you, and you're doing something eternal. See, that's where you need to land in today is you were created for an eternal purpose. You were created for something bigger than the brief time here on this earth and to make an eternal impact into people's lives. Continue to be the church. You see, my prayer for you today is that today you have a moment like Jacob. where your life and God's plan for your life just intersect. And then you submit and go, okay, God, I'm gonna follow you. That God be able to encounter your life like never before. And for some of you, that sounds ooh, spooky, spiritual. No, it's not. It's just now you encounter a God and you realize, God, he's got more for me than I can ever imagine. The Bible says, look at this. I love this verse in Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How does he do that? By changing the way you think. See, you think you know best. You think you've got it under control, but the fact is you don't. I have friends, and some of you know who you are. You're control freaks. You're worse than I am, and we laugh about it. But even us control freaks have to let God take control and change the way we think. Because look at the rest of this verse. It says, then you'll learn. Learn what? God's will for you. Why you're created. It doesn't happen until you let him lead. Until you let him be your Lord and Savior. And it says, then you'll learn. And that is, God's going to teach you which is good, pleasing, and perfect. I'm begging you. You don't want just simple okay for your life. You want God's perfection. And God will give it to you, and God will show it to you, and he will take you there, but he has to lead. One version, I was reading the Bible, it says you're not driving, you have to let God drive. That makes so much sense to me because it's so hard for me to let somebody else drive. I want to be in control. Today I'm asking you, that thumping in your heart is you saying, God, I give you control. If that's you today and you've never said, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior, then I'm asking you, it's a simple prayer, something like this. Just say, God, forgive me for my sin. I receive you as my Lord and Savior, and now I'm going to follow you and let you lead. The Bible says if you believe that in your heart, you confess it with your mouth, that your eternity is secure, and now you can begin to walk it out. I believe that with you. If you prayed that prayer or anything closer, you need more, contact us on Facebook, on YouTube, send us a message on the church site. We want to pray with you and give you your next steps. And we can't wait to see you come here to see you in person and help you walk this out. Now, for all of you today who just feel like I just need some encouragement, I want to pray. And my heart today is, even if you've known God for a long time, that you encounter him like never before. You return to letting him lead, and God will do something supernatural. He begins to work. The humble see God work. God, I ask you today humbly to start working in our lives. Now, I'm going to pray for you. I'm also going to pray and bless your tithe and your offering. And you guys have been so generous during this time, and I can't wait to see what God's got ahead. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll go. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for everybody within the sound of my voice. God, I ask you to begin to today, Father God, encounter their lives like they've never seen you before. Let them experience your grace, your mercy, your peace. Father God, let them have the peace to follow you, to let you lead. The things they're worried about, the things they're trying to do for themselves. God, we give you control. We thank you for taking control and that it works because you make it work, not because we try to kick open the door. God, we love you and we thank you for being so good to us. God, right now I bless all the giving and people who are tithing and being faithful to give generously. Thank you that they're blessed, and the Bible says they'll have more than enough, that this house here at Believers will have more than enough to do everything you've asked us to do. And we thank you for it now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now remember, watch out for more info. June the 7th is our return, so we'll be back here online on the 31st, watch out for more info. We love you, we miss you, and we can't wait to see you in person on June the 7th. We love you. Have a great week.